for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. This is the 1:15 p.m. Saturday afternoon, February the 21st, 2015. Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service, teaching on Why Life Doesn't Go Well and How to Reset Negative Weeping Patterns.
So yes. Let that be true.
Yeah. Oh, bless the Lord. I'm working on it every day. And I'm not working on it because I'm legalistic. I'm working on it because I want to know God better. I want to know what God has to say. Yes. The other day, other morning, I said, when I was having prayer time, I said, Lord, if I'm healed by the blood of Jesus, by the stripes of Jesus, why does it seem I'm getting worse? And he said, because if I healed you right now, you wouldn't press into me, and I've got so many things to teach you. I could almost do a seminar on eyes. And I bless the Lord. Bless you, Lord. But I've also given it to the Lord. I'm not going to worry about my eyes anymore. I'm really not. The other day I walked out of church, and some of you may think, well, that's not walking in faith. But I just said, Lord, if this eye thing is the only thing the only way you can cause me to be the person you created me to be, where I wouldn't waste my life and keep it just like it is. Because if I have a choice, I want to fulfill God's destiny on this earth. So it really caused me to give it up. I'm still repenting over things. I'm still standing. I'm still confessing healing. I'm doing all those things. I'm still rebuking the devil. But I'm not worried about it anymore. I'm not going to be, and I thought I wasn't before. You know how you found out that you are. Okay, so what I'm going to share today, I really sought the Lord, and I really see that the messages that have come forth, what Carla's going to bring forth at 3 o'clock and what Callie brought forth really ties in. The Holy Spirit told us what to do. I mean, every message has to do with mother, daddy, daughter, son relationships. Every message. And tonight at 7, I'm going to teach on why you faint, which ties in with what Callie said. Your perspective of God comes in through the picture your mother and daddy modeled for you. And all of our life, the judgments we make on our parents puts a block between us and God. God wants to pour out blessings on us, but if we don't see Him for who He is, we don't go to Him. And that's why we crash and take a nosedive. But before I teach that, I want to share this is on why life doesn't go well and how to reset negative reaping patterns. All of us are, well, let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that your word will go forth like a fire and like a hammer that breaks rock. Lord, I thank you and praise you that as we commit our way to you, you establish our thoughts. So Lord, this is your meeting. I ask for your download upon me, Carla, upon Callie. I just thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do in people's lives. We just bind every spirit that will not confess Jesus Christ as Lord. We bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places, from this meeting, from our lives, from our homes, from everything that concerns us, in the name of Jesus. We just break your power over this camp. We break every assignment that's sent against this ministry of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, of each ministry represented in this place that would cause us, as Howard Pittman said, to drown in problems. We just break it in the name of Jesus. We just break every word curse, every curse assignment, word of death, word of iniquity spoken over our ministries, over Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, to hinder signs and wonders, to hinder deliverance, lives changed, to hinder the ministries from growing. Lord, people need to hear what goes on here and what you have given us to share with people in the name of Jesus. Because, Lord, even though there's no money in it, we're not in it for money. It works, or we wouldn't be doing it for 34 years. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord. We praise you that you are Jehovah Jireh, our provider. We just thank you that you're the King, that you're the ruler of everything. You're our healer. You're our deliverer. And Lord, we just give you praise in Jesus' name. You know, all of us have experienced things in life that have set us up for a negative reaping. And there's also good reaping. The good things that we do are the good things that our forefathers did has brought blessings to our life, and we can reap good things. But we're spiritual gardens. The scripture says that we're soil. Mark 4, Luke 8, Matthew 13 says we're soil. We're a temple of God. 1 Corinthians 3:9 says we're land. Says you're a building, you're a house, you're a field. And so in this land, this is the land, there has been things sown into our spiritual gardens that are reaping a crop of stuff. You know, I could stop right now and say, well, what's going on in your life? And you could trace the fruit to the root of something that happened or something that happened to your forefathers. You know, in your garden, if you plant corn, you're going to get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn with hundreds of kernels of corn. You're going to get the same thing you plant, more than you plant, later than you plant. And so because of the generational iniquities of the forefathers, we have had stuff born in us, planted in us through the generations. And we're reaping those things. So it's important to deal with generational iniquities of the forefathers, to deal with the things that happened in the generations. And so, plus, in our spiritual garden, we have things that we have sown, sins we've committed. I mean, good things, too. If you sow something good, it's something good that's going to come up, according to the law of sowing and reaping. You plant a weed, you're going to get a weed. You plant corn, you're going to get corn. You're going to get whatever you plant, more, later. And the same thing. And so you could just look at the fruit in your life and trace it to the root. If there's perversion in the life, in your life, or growing in your garden, you would trace it to what happened. Were you molested? Did you look at pornography? Where was the first time you ever looked at any of that? Because the seed was planted. If the Word of God is seed, words are seed. Right? The Bible says that the Word of God is seed. The sower goes out to sow the Word. I'm sowing the Word right now onto your soil. All of us are different soil types. You know, the scripture says that when the sower goes out to sow in Mark 4, he said that some of the seed fall beside the road and the birds come, and then he later explains that that's Satan that comes and steals the word. And that's really a picture of a person that doesn't understand it and the enemy gets it, or he might say, I don't believe that, and the enemy steals it. The second type of soil is for the seed of God's word was sown on good among thorns, and says that the worries, the cares, the pleasures, the desire for other things choke the word. Because if you sow something in weeds, guess what? The weeds are going to overtake the good thing, right? You don't have to protect the weeds in a garden, but you have to protect the good plants. So the third type of soil is the soil that's sowed on hard ground. And if you've ever tried to plant something on hard ground without tilling it up, one year I must have thrown out $100 or more of wildflower seeds. I just throw them out in the pasture thinking they're going to come up. Well, the birds ate them, and I saw them down I-20. And my grandkids, I'd say, those are my flowers growing right there. And they would just laugh, oh, grandmother, you're crazy, you don't really know. But I'm telling you, they were my flowers. They were. Because the kind of flowers that were coming up were not flowers that are native to East Texas. So, anyway, but the birds came and got the seed, and then they went to the bathroom over a real healthy place, and the seed was sown, and it came up, a beautiful flower. And so whatever you plant, it's going to come up. And so I've learned to look at the fruit in my life. If something's not right, you know, I trace the fruit to the root. And the root would be the doorway of when the demon entered or when the stronghold was formed in your life. The first time you ever look at pornography opens the door to pornography. The first time you ever were molested or you got into sexual sin, that opened the door to have all the demons of whoever sexually molested you. And so so the good news is you can get rid of it. And so really the sanctification process is dealing with the unresolved issues of your heart, what's been planted, what you've done that's evil, what's been the evil that's been done to you, that you didn't forgive by sundown, you let the sun go down on it. The scripture says when you let the sun go down on your anger, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. And so how you're trained up sets a default. And I'll explain a default like, you know, you're a computer. It's set at the factory to do certain things. There's about 300 different letter styles, or they're called fonts. Most of you know more about a computer than I do, but I do know that. And so you can change the letter style, but when you go into another letter, the computer will kick it back to the way the factory set it, and that's called a default. Well, the way you were trained up sets a default in your life. And you're trying to break out of some of these patterns, and you keep getting kicked back into the default. For example, if you're trained up to not be loved, then it's like you don't know you can go to God, so what you do unconsciously, you turn to an idol. When I grow up, I'm going to find someone who loves me, and that becomes an idol. Or I'm going to find someone who will listen to me, or someone who will understand me, or somebody who will take care of me. And if I don't turn to God as a child, I'm turning to a false god. And it'll set a default in my life. For example, if you're trained up to be abandoned, guess what? In all your relationships, you'll be abandoned. If you're trained up to be rejected, if you don't deal with it at the cross, it sets in motion forces that cause people to get rejected, 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 rejected. I've written a book called Resetting Life's Negative Reaping Patterns, which tells you more of what I'm saying, but in a greater extent. But these demonic defaults can be broken the minute you forgive. Forgiveness, when you forgive, deliverance comes. When you can forgive. Jesus said if you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. And so the judgments that you make on your parents set in motion forces that cause you to reap in kind the same thing you judged. And so some of you have heard us teach this, but there's so many new people here. This is really key to all of life. It's really key to deliverance. It's key to walking in divine health. Because if you let the sun go down on your anger, the scripture says in Matthew 5, you go into a spiritual prison. So every place I'm in a spiritual prison, I have an issue. God says, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. And you say, well, I'm not really angry at my parents. I don't really blame them. I'm not angry at them. But when your mother and father violate the word of God in training you up, you have an automatic issue. It may not pop up for 50 years because God don't show you all your issues at once. You couldn't take it. So when you came here, many of you came forward for prayer this morning, and so I said, tell me just pray for me. And I said, well, what's your biggest problem? Because that's the next thing God wants to deal with. God wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. He wants to deliver you. And forgiveness is the key to all those things. It's not an option. If you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. If you don't forgive, you let the sun go down in your anger, you go into a spiritual prison. It says that in Matthew 5. It says, make friends with your opponent at law while you're on the way. Unless your opponent turns you over to the judge, the judge, the officer, and you'll be thrown into a prison, and you won't come out of there till you pay up the last cent. That's what it says in Matthew 5. In Matthew 18, Jesus gives the parable of a man who owed about 10,000 talents, which was about $10 million. And he went to his Lord, which was representative of Jesus, and said, please have mercy on me. Forgive me for this debt. And Jesus forgave him. Then he goes right out and meets somebody that owes him $18 and says, pay up. And the person said, well, I can't. I don't have the money. So he grabs him around the throat and he throws him into prison. And then it would be like Carla sees what I did. And so she goes and tells the Lord on me. And so then the Lord would say to me, you wicked slave, should I just forgave you all that debt? How much more should you not forgive an $18 debt? And so because of that, God says, I'm going to throw you into a prison and turn you over to the tormentors, which means demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. And you may not even think that you're angry. You may not even think you haven't forgiven. You have to say the words, I forgive. You can't say, I forgive my parents for all the stuff they did to me. And most of you probably already done that. But to get delivered and healed, you have to be specific. I forgive my parents for abandoning me. I forgive them for not loving me, not wanting me. I forgive them for not talking to me. Whatever your issue is, this is what you fight about in your marriage. You promise yourself, well, when I get married, somebody's going to take care of me. Guess what? You marry somebody that won't take care of you. Because those judgments, you say, well, when I met them, they were a godly person. But when I married them, it was different. Well, when you married them, it became an authority issue. And all of a sudden, however, like if you grew up being abused, you're going to marry an abuser till you forgive them at the cross of Jesus. Does that make sense? Because you can say, or if you say you didn't get married and you go to work and your boss, you might come and tell me, my boss never recognizes anything I do. I can say, well, neither did your mom and dad. And so it'll apply in some way. And so to get healed, we have to deal with our unresolved issues. If you don't deal with your unresolved issues, eventually it will work out in your body as physical sickness. Because, see, it's down there, and if the bitterness is down there, eventually, at some point in time, it may be 50 years, it may be 100, it may be next year, it's going to manifest in your body as sickness. And I'm going to say this, I give glory to God, but I turned 76 a few weeks ago, and I'm on no medication. The only doctor I have is Jesus, and that's the only doctor I'm going to have. One day I told my son, I said, Kyle, I said, if something happens to me, don't you take me to the hospital. His eyes got big. I said, I won't go. But you know what? You'd have to be knocked out to get there. You never know. I keep my insurance just in case that I'm taken against my will. And he did an article recently called The Eye Doctor, and he did it especially for me. If you're on my email, I sent it to you. I need an eye doctor. You know why I need an EYE doctor? Because I had a capital I problem. I used to think it was all the turkeys around me that were the problem, and now I'm seeing I'm the turkey. The quicker you see that, the better off you'll be. You won't get your feelings hurt, but sometimes people, family members, or if you've got daughter-in-laws, sons-in-laws, they'll say something that hurts your heart, and God says, Jerry, you did that. You did the same thing. The things that bother you are the things you did, or they're the things that you judge your mother and father for. Either you judge your mother and father for it, or you did it yourself. And that's why it's bothering you. God's letting people mirror what He wants to change in us. Does that make sense? And so instead of getting mad, having a fit, foaming at the mouth, and falling in it, ask the Lord, okay, Lord, did I do this? Or did I judge my mother and father for doing this? Now, these judgments that I make become bitter roots down in my heart. If I let the sun go down on my anger, then God says you have till sundown to deal with it. And the next day, it's unforgiveness, and then the next day, it's bitterness, and bitterness will kill you. That's the root of sickness. It's someplace down in your heart, there's something stored down there that needs to get fixed. And so God wants to heal you. He wants you to walk in divine health. And some of you, and I'm not judging any of you that go to the doctor, okay? Because different people, like Carla said, every person, if you have fear of not going, you better go. And some of you have to take stuff, but as you get delivered, you'll need it less and less. So I started to say something and I already lost my train of thought. Yeah, going or not going. Yeah, I know what I was going to say. Don't tell me you're trusting God when you're going to the doctor. I mean, it's like you're either trusting Him or you're not trusting Him. But your faith, there was a time when I would go to the doctor, and there's a time when I don't go. So God is building our faith. He's giving you, and even if you have to go, you just keep seeking Him and keep finding the answers. Keep looking for the roots to things, because prescription drugs is the number three killer of people in the United States. And basically, bottom line, you want to know what it is? It's sorcery. So you can choose the great physician, or you can choose to go to the sorcerer. And sometimes, you know, they can patch you up, but they can't heal you. If it was really a health care, they'd go broke. If they really could heal people, they would be out of business. So, and please don't take this as condemnation, okay? And God tells us, and don't take this as condemnation, because we've all dishonored our mother and father. And honor doesn't mean you have to like them. It doesn't mean you have to support their drug habit. It doesn't mean you have to live with them. If they're evil people, you don't even have to fellowship with them. But it means to forgive them by sundown. The Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and mother, that all may be well with you and your days be long upon the earth. It also says that in Ephesians 6. Well, some of you may think, well, you know, that makes a hair on my head stand up. How can I honor that perverted daddy that molested me? Or how can I honor that person? You honor the position. You can speak the truth in love. For example, if you have a parent that's harassing you morning, noon, and night, and keeping you all stirred up and all grief-stricken and all that stuff, it's okay to say, Mom, I love you. I want a relationship with you, but do not call me again unless you can talk kindly to me. It's okay to say that, to set boundaries, not disrespecting, not loving, but you can speak the truth in love. And so you honor. Honor means that you forgive them by sundown. You've got till sundown to forgive them. Well, little children don't know that. As a little kid, something bad happens, they don't know. Unconsciously, they turn to an idol. They don't even know they can do that. They may say, when I get out of this house, life's going to be different. Life isn't different. What's going on in the present is a rerun of how you grew up. And the quicker you learn that, the freer you're going to get. In fact, you know, it's the key to all deliverance is dealing with mother-daddy issues. I mean, not that there's not other things you need to get deal with, but the sins of the fathers pass on to the children, to the third and fourth generation. And if you've got a physical problem and other people in your family has it, your mother-daddy, you know, that was a generational curse. And so in Deuteronomy 28, it gives the blessings and the curses. Disobedience to the voice of God brings the curse, brings sickness. So, you know, if it's something generational, like I can say the eye problems I've had have been generational, you know there is something way back in the generations that a parent committed that has brought that on you in the present. And I've been looking for those things, and I'm telling you, I'm going to teach possibly on something the Lord showed me about a religious spirit. The Lord has shown me that an eye problem is rooted in religious spirit. Now, since a person that has a religious spirit that is religious, they don't deal with the heart issues. They deal with outward appearance. A disciple deals with heart issues, deals with the unresolved issues of the heart. And so I can honestly say to you that since the day I've been saved, I've worked on heart issues. And I'm not a religious person. I'm not legalistic. I used to be legalistic. Probably when I was 40 years old, I was so self-righteous, it was pitiful. But I'm not that way now. But if you look up in Matthew 23, how God told the Pharisees, you're blind guides. You're blind, you're blind, you're blind, you're blind. I thought, oh dear Lord. So I've been dealing with generational religious spirits. I had two grandfathers, great-grandfathers, that were Baptist preachers. My mother's side of the family was Primitive Baptist, and they just believe everybody's going to be saved. You don't have to deal with anything. Just total error. And I see how a lot of that has come down on me since my mother and daddy through the generations. And so I'm going to teach at some point in time. I'll just share this, and I'll share it again when God puts together the message. But I was doing a word study on S-E-E. And, well, Kyle preached a message in church on the eye doctor. And he used John 9, where Jesus said, if you said you could, because you say you see, you're full of sin. If you would say you're blind, you can see. And I couldn't understand that. And so, of course, I've been the world's biggest smart aleck, know-it-all. And so I guess that is a fair say. But anyway, so I was doing a word study on C, and when I got to how God struck the Apostle Paul with blindness, he was a Pharisee. He thought he was serving God. He thought he loved God. He did love God. He was trying to do everything God wanted him to do, but God had to make him blind to show him he couldn't see. I thought that was a revelation to me. Because, you know what, right now, I used to think I saw everything and I knew everything. I can say today, I don't see. I need to see more. But anyway, it's tied in with the religious spirit. And I think all of us, whether we've been religious or legalistic or what, all of us have come out of a religious spirit. Because very few people today in the church deal with heart issues. The church is full of people that are dealing totally with outward appearance. And they're lost. They're religious. And I can say since I've been saved, Jesus, since the day I got saved 51 years ago, I've made so many mistakes, but Jesus has been the Lord of my life every day for 51 years. I thank God that by His grace I've never turned back. Because I hated this world. When I got saved, I could see no purpose in existing in this world. Get up, go to work, come back, come home, It was like trying to run. When I was a kid, I used to run up these escalators. Did you ever do that in a department store? I would go, if they were going up, I'd go down. If they were down, I'd go up them. And that's the way it felt. Every time I'm trying to go up, I go back, I go down. And so, I don't know why I said that. Anyway, forgiveness is not an option. It's essential. We don't want to be turned over to the tormentors. Deuteronomy 5:16 says, honor your father and mother, that all may be well with you, and your days be long upon the earth. It says that in Ephesians. And this principle of honoring your father and mother, this fundamental key is the key to all of marital problems, child raising problems. I can tell you that probably what your kids are doing that you hate, you used to do it too. And so everything your kids are doing you can't stand, repent, because that'll break that law of sowing and reaping. Marital problems, the things you argue about in your marriage, go back to mom and dad. You promise yourself you're never going to marry a turkey like your mom and dad. Well, guess what? You're living with him. 99 9/10% of the time, married people are living with their mother and father. You will either be like your mother and father yourself, or you'll marry someone like your mother and father. But you promise I'll never be like my mother. I'll never be like my dad. I used to say that. I look in the mirror and I think I see my mother. Praise the Lord. And so that's the key. Life will go well in every area that I can honor my mother and father. which means forgive them. And we've all dishonored our parents, but we can all start over just forgiving them. Everything they're doing right now, if they're still alive, forgive them. I forgive them for this. I forgive them for that. And you have to say, you have to be specific. And so every failure in life can be traced back to dishonoring mother and father. And remember, honor means forgive. You know, to honor them, it doesn't mean you have to support their drug habit, but it does mean that you see that they're provided for in a sensible way. I already said all of that. You understand, if a parent is violating the law of God by not training you up according to the Word of God, there's an automatic issue. You may not feel it for 50 years, but at some point in time in your life, it'll crop up. And that's why you're not to let the sun go down in your anger. When the Lord shows you, you deal with it. And so these unresolved issues become bitter roots down in our heart. And anger, you know, when we let the sun go down on our anger, we give it the foothold, give a foothold to the enemy. And because parents don't train us up in the way we should go, according to the Word of God, we've got anger, but we may not feel it. Until one day God's ready to deliver you and you get your button pushed. Hits a sore place down in your heart. Anger is destructive and it's idolatry. If when I let the sun go, like for example, say Carla, she doesn't hurt my feelings, we're roomies. She's my buddy. But say Carla hurts my feelings and I don't forgive her tonight before I go to bed. Well, I turn to something I might have thought. I'm just not going to pay attention to Carla anymore. I'm just going to ignore her. I'm not going to share my heart with her anymore. Guess what? I just turned to false gods. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Whatever you turn to, if it's not the Lord in your pain, you're turning to a false god. And idolatry, when we worship idols, we worship demons. It says that in Deuteronomy 32. Genesis 4:6, it said, the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry and why is your countenance fallen? He said, if you do well, if you forgive, if you don't, sin is crouching at your door. The devil is waiting to take you out. 1 Samuel 18 about Saul, and that was really a good message, Kelly, because whether you realize it or not, this morning we ministered to people that had Sauls in their family life and so have been tortured by a spirit of Saul. Praise God. It's been amazing to me how this meeting, how this seminar, how everything has tied together. The Holy Spirit is tying everything together. And Saul, you remember, he got jealous of David. He said, David has killed his, I've killed my thousands. David's killed his 10,000. Next thing you know, he's going to want the kingdom. So he began to try to kill David, set him up with Michael, threw a spear at him. And eventually, because he didn't deal with his anger and his unforgiveness, he went off and committed suicide. You see how it ends? You see the progression of anger? It'll take you down. It says in Proverbs 25:23, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. Proverbs 29:22 says, an angry man stirs strife and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. I'm going to go back to the other one. It says, and an angry, backbiting tongue brings forth anger. Has anybody, you know, the scripture says, be angry and sin not? Sometimes people excuse that. They excuse their anger with that scripture, but it means don't let your anger turn into sin. I know my husband used to say, Jerry, are you look upset? Are you something wrong with you? No. Are you sure you're not angry? No. Well, you got a funny look on your face? No. You sure you're not angry? No, I'm not angry. Have y'all ever done that? No. No. Get that lying spirit out of her.
That can testify.
You are blessed to have a godly husband.
I am.
He is godly. He's so precious. In fact, he's on the prayer team with the guys and the girls. So we're... Okay, so the next one is Proverbs 29. I already did that one. Ecclesiastes 7:9 says, do not be angry in your heart to be angered. Don't be angry in your heart, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. And anger kills the simple. Don't allow anger in your life. You know, sometimes we can deny it, and not take accountability for it. We pretend we're not angry because we know. That's why I used to do that, because I knew it was not appropriate to be angry. So I'd say, no, I'm not angry. No. And what that means is to say, yes, I'm angry. Yes, I have a right to be angry. But you know what? I love Jesus so much that I will forgive you by sundown. I'll drag it out till sundown. You know, I got saved reading the Bible. And when I came to that scripture where it says, don't let the sun go down in your anger, you give a mighty foothold to the devil. Well, you know, I went to churches and I never heard a preacher ever preach on that. Ever. And I had a fear of going to sleep angry. And that I know of, consciously, I've never consciously went to bed angry. But I knew it since then. So when I was married, I remember one night Bob and I got in a disagreement. And so I wanted to go to bed, but I didn't dare go to bed angry. And so he was slowing me down. And I was waiting for him to apologize. And probably in 27 years, I couldn't really think of four times he ever apologized. And so I was upstairs, and he was downstairs in the den. And I said, look, Lord, I want to go to sleep. I said, Lord, this time it was his fault. And the Lord said, yeah, this time it is his fault. But you have a pride problem. It's just good for you to go down and humble yourself. And then I'd go down and I'd say, now, Bob, we need to get our heart right with the Lord. Would you please forgive me? And he'd say, you just do it again. And I can tell you, he's not alive today, because he constantly would let the sun go down in his anger. I don't know if you've been like me, but to sleep with an angry person, you're trying to sleep and you can hear them breathing. You ever experienced that? It's like something holding. Maybe you're the angry person. It's like hovering over the house, a demon. It's a terrible feeling. And so I used to get mad all over again because I said I was sorry and he wouldn't forgive me. And I thought God was going to be mad at me too if he wouldn't forgive me. And then one day the Lord said, you forgive him. And if he has a fit, foams at the mouth and falls in it, you do what you're supposed to do. I said, okay, Lord. And it never bothered me. And he died an angry man. It sharpened his life. And so God doesn't want us to be angry. In fact, it says in Galatians 5:19 and 20, that if you practice anger, you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. But that's pretty strong. And that's exactly what it means. Because if you don't forgive, God isn't going to forgive you. Now, forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a choice. I choose to forgive because I love God. I don't have to think it's fair. I don't have to really want to do it. I have to humble myself. I do it because I love God. And so, the Lord taught me some years ago how to forgive. And I had lunch with somebody and we got the disagreement, and she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry, and I said the next day I was still arguing with her in my head, thinking, I can't believe she's so sarcastic. I can't believe she's so critical. I can't believe. And I said, Lord, she said she was sorry, and I said I was sorry. Why can't I get over it? And the Lord said, because she's just like your mother. The turkeys in your life are just like people you judged. And so I said, well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. And the Lord said, forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. So I started saying, I forgive my mother for this. I forgive my mother for that. I forgive my mother for this. I forgive my mother for that. And then it totally left. Now, there's other times when people say, Jerry, forgive me for... I'll say, for what? Well, you know, I said this yesterday. I didn't think anything of it. It's not a hard issue. If you can quickly forgive... it's not a hard issue. But if you're trying to forgive because you know you have to, and it keeps coming back tomorrow, the next day, next week, next month, it's still eating on you, it's a mother-daddy issue. Or if you've forgiven your mother and dad, you can go back to your grandparents and how they treated your mom and dad. Job 36:13 says, but the godless man lays up anger. They do not cry for help, though he binds them. Psalm 37:8 says, see, and be repenting over these. Ask God to forgive you as I'm sharing these. You'll get a greater deliverance at the end. Psalm 37:8 says, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing, and evildoers will be cut off. You know, perfectionism causes us to fret. Some years ago, the Lord delivered me from a perfection. I mean, I still have, the Lord showed me even standing up here. Last month when I taught in Duncanville, I thought the morning session was a total washout. And I just, at lunchtime, I was by myself. I said, Lord, you just want me to hang up teaching. You just want me to quit. And so, anyway, I decided to go back some more of it. And so the afternoon session went good. And afterwards, everybody said, oh, it was so anointing. I said, oh, that morning session was... I didn't see that. That was anointed. But see, the perfectionism of wanting everything to be the way I think it ought to be is idolatry. So that's what the Lord showed me. So today I said, Lord, if you just want me to totally mess up, as long as you look good, it's okay. But see, that's the perfectionistic. That's probably the religious thing, you know, wanting everything. There's nothing perfect except God. Proverbs, and God's more interested in glorifying himself than he is making us look good. He didn't die to make us happy. He died that we can make him happy. Okay, Proverbs 14:29 said, he who is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who is quick-tempered exalts folly. If you're a quick-tempered person, can I tell you, you've got lots of wounds that need to get healed. If everything pushes your button, you're sensitive about every little thing, you're just a wounded person and you've got to get it healed. Because every one of those sore places, those raw places down in your heart, if you don't deal with them, they're going to manifest at some point in time as sickness in your physical body. And I'll say this, I've watched over the years, and probably some of you can say the same thing, ministers and especially deliverance ministers that don't deal with their own stuff, let me tell you something, the devil will take you out. You better not ever go into a deliverance session with unconfessed, unrepented of sin in your life, because you're opening up a door for Satan to bring the same demons to you. Oh, I know what I used to tell my husband. At one point in my life, I was doing deliverance almost every day of the week, about 4 or 5 days a week, and my husband didn't object to that because I'd spend an hour or two with people and it was okay. And I would say, Bob, let's get your heart right with God. Let's get our hearts right with the Lord. And I remember one night telling him he wouldn't forgive me. I said, okay, I'm fixing to go upstairs and cast out demons, and if you don't repent, they're looking for a body. And that's the truth. That destroyed him. I mean, I didn't destroy him with those words, but that's true. If he's sitting down there unforgiving and I'm casting demons out, where do you think they're going to go? Anyway, I didn't kill him. The devil has told me that lots of times. Maybe the man's dead because of you. Proverbs 15:1 says, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but harsh words stir up strife, stir up anger. Proverbs 15:18, a hot-tempered man abounds in transgressions. He stirs up strife, but the slow to anger pacifies contention. Proverbs 16:32, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who captures a city. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression. Proverbs 19:19 says, a man of great anger shall bear the penalty, for if you deliver him, you'll only have to do it again. Now that's a picture of compromise. If there's somebody in your life you're trying to pacify to keep them from getting angry, you have to jump this high. But if you deliver them, you'll only have to do it again, because then they're going to be mad about something else, and you'll have to jump up through that hoop. And then you'll have to jump through another hoop, and you'll have to jump through another hoop. So that's what that means. If you deliver them, you'll only have to do it again. Don't compromise. Speak the truth in love. And leave them to the Lord. It's not your problem. That's what the Lord told me. You forgive, you get your heart right, and it's not your problem. It's between me and them. Proverbs 22:24 says, do not associate or fellowship with a man given to anger, or go with a hot-tempered man, lest you become like him. Well, how do you become like him? Well, jumping through his hoops because you don't want to make him angry causes you to get conformed into his image instead of the image of Christ. Proverbs 27:4, wrath is fierce, anger is a flood, but who can stand before jealousy? Proverbs 29:8 says, scorners set a city on fire, but wise men turn away anger. Proverbs 30:33 says, for the churning of milk produces butter, and the pressing of the nose produces blood, but the churning of anger produces strife. Ecclesiastes 7:9, do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. Proverbs 5:17, speaking of a fool, it says, throughout his life he eats in great vexation, sickness, and anger. So God calls a person that's angry all the time a fool. Ephesians 4:31 says, let all bitterness and all wrath and all anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Ephesians 6:4, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. We've already quoted that. Ecclesiastes 11:10 says, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. So if you have pain in your body, you've got vexation in your heart. If you've got pain in your body, there's grief, sorrow, sadness, anger, provocation, and idolatry in your heart that is causing the pain in your body. There's emotional pain, physical pain, mental pain, sexual pain. I remember there's this lady in Michigan that I prayed for. She said, I had a hysterectomy or something done on her. I think it was a hysterectomy, but she said, ever since then, I've been in terrible pain. And so I said, have you ever been into sexual sin? And she said, yes. And I said, well, they're still up inside of you, the vexation of that sin. So I told her to repent of every relationship she had, and then tell me when she was through. And she did, and I led her in repentance, and broke soul ties, and the pain instantly left. So when you break soul, we break soul ties, because when you've sinned against another person, or another person has sinned against you, you get a part of them, they get a part of you. So you break the soul ties if another person's involved, because you can carry their sicknesses, their diseases, their mental problems, their emotional problems, their demons, their familiar spirits. And so if you have pain, get to the root of the vexation. Sometimes, if you're here, this is not to embarrass you, but this morning we prayed for somebody's feet. And I'm just saying this because I might forget to tell you when I see you. And it's not to put you on the spot. But if you have, sometimes if you're bitter toward the path that, of life that you've been on, you can have arthritis in your feet. Because being bitter towards your path, and it could be a generational thing, your forefathers bitter toward the path they were on. Some people feel like, and a lot of you here, feel like, I've just got a raw deal in life. God says the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So forgive everyone, get on the potter's wheel, and the potter will fix you the way he wants you. But sometimes if you grew up in families where they're... y'all tell me what is... What time is it? 2:15, okay. And so, what was I going to say? Yes, the potter... He's the one that turns the potter's wheel. He's the one that fashions the clay. Which is a picture of being yielded to God. If you think that your life has just been wasted, it's not too late. Moses was 80 years old before God began to use him. You get on the potter's wheel, and which is a picture of being totally yielded to God. Lord, I'm full of mess. Here I am. I can't fix myself. You're going to have to fix me. I just give up to you. I give up to your control. You couldn't miss God if you tried. Because the potter knows exactly what he put you here for. And I can't think of anything that would be more grievous to me than stand before the Lord and he say, Jerry, you missed it. And so I know by his grace, he prayed for us. He said he prayed for us that our faith wouldn't fail. He who's begun a good work in us will perform it into the day of the Lord Jesus. And so if you're bitter, if your feet hurt and it's bitter toward your path, or maybe you haven't been bitter toward the path that you've been on, your forefathers were bitter toward the path that they were on. I have a friend that had arthritis in her feet, and she was a hairdresser, and her husband left her for another woman, and she was bitter that she had to stand on her feet and do hair, and she had arthritis in both feet. Your hands have to do with what you've done with your hands. I prayed for a lady in San Antonio who was a secretary for a pastor, and she had carpal tunnel. And I led her to forgive him because she was typing and she had carpal tunnel. I led her to forgive him and she was instantly healed of carpal tunnel. This thing keeps jumping on. Okay, James says, this you know, my beloved brethren, but let every one of you be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. James 1:20, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God, because God says love fulfills the law. So when I'm angry, I break God's law of love. And don't allow fear in your life. Don't allow anger in your life. Don't allow depression. When those things come up, ask God to show you where the root, where did it get planted down in your spiritual garden? Where did that come in, and deal with it? And I can tell you that that's what I do on a daily basis, constantly taking the problem, tracing it to the root, and constantly repenting. And there's probably a day that does not go by that I don't get self-delivered. I mean, Jesus is delivered, but James 4:7 is the key to deliverance. Give yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee. It's boo demon. The minute you repent, the minute you forgive, you're free. Yes, hallelujah. Okay, there are sins worthy of death. One is striking your parents. Another is, and I don't have the scripture, I must have accidentally deleted this thing from here. Speaking evil of your parents, we've all done that. Matthew 50. Now, when you're trying to tell somebody that this happened because you're trying to get help from it, that's not cursing them. If you're explaining to them, hey, my mother does this, my daddy does that. But I'm talking about just speaking negatively of your parents all the time, and we've all done that. We've got to stop it. Striking your parents, Exodus 21:15. He who strikes smites his parents, father and mother, shall surely be put to death. So parents, don't allow your children to hit you. If you're letting them hit you when they're down like you, they'll knock you out when they're teenagers. So you better deal with it. We have a family that's come into our church, and he's the assistant principal of Lindale High School. He's the brother of Chris Tomlin, who wrote the strong, that song, How Great Is Our God? Anyway, his children sit through our prayer meeting and they pray. They're homeschooled. They are the most godly kids I've ever been around. They're just a pleasure to be around. So train your children up in the way they should go. Don't compromise. I remember when I was babysitting Kylie, Holly, and David, when Kylie was David was a baby. Holly was probably about 3 or 4 years old, and Kylie was about 6. And I had driven them to Montana to have fun with them, to babysit with them. So coming back, I said, girls, David was asleep. I said, girls, I think we've missed our turn because there's no signs or nothing in Wyoming. We were headed toward Billings, Montana, Casper, Wyoming. I said, I think we missed our turn, but I said, we couldn't have gone too far out of the way. So that there was, finally we came to this town, and I said, ma'am, put the window down. I said, ma'am, how far away from Wyoming catch one? She said, oh, about 8 hours. I went, dear Lord in heaven, help me, Jesus. That's what I said, because I was tired. Kylie started laughing, and Holly started crying. I said, oh, shut up, Holly. Anyway, Holly went home, and I just found this out. She's 26 now. I just found this out. She went home, and she said, Grandmother cussed. She said, what did she say? She said, shut up, Holly. Anyway, so here, Grandmother was known as being a cusser. I mean, no matter how hard you try to be good, you get accused of something. Okay, so, let me see. We're almost through with this. You'll have to bear with me. God's bearing with me. Yes, thank you, Lord. Okay, the sin's worthy of death. And then it says, in Matthew 15, it says, if you say to your mother and father, I can't help you, the money that I'm got, I want to give to God, you invalidate the word of God. And that's just a picture of having a parent that's needy, that doesn't mean you have to live with them, but it means that you take money and you provide for them, not to support their drug habits, their alcohol habits, their cigarette habits, but to make provision for them. Besides the word of God being revoked and our life being shortened, will be considered in Proverbs 19 as shameful and a disgraceful son or daughter. You'll be considered the companion of fools, Proverbs 28:24. The powers of darkness will bring blindness. It says that he who curses his mother and father, his lamp will go out in the time of darkness. And that means, well, when we don't deal with our issues with our mother and daddy, the time of darkness. How many of you have had a fight with your husband if you're married, or a fight with somebody in the middle of it, you don't even know what's going on? You're just blind as a bat. It's because when you have an issue and you're going through it, you're going through that wound, you don't even know what happened. And so your eyes will be put out in a time of darkness. A lot of marriages could be healed if they would go in their prayer closet and say, Lord, this man is doing this or this. How does this relate? What are you trying to teach me? You know, God's got a lesson in everything that you go through. He's got a lesson to teach you. And as you learn these lessons, it gives you something to share with others. Your lamp will go out in time of darkness. It says in Proverbs, the eye that mocks the father and scorns the mother shall be plucked out by the ravens of the valley, and that brings blindness. That's another root to eye problems. And so these defilements come into our life because we judged. Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 says, judge not lest you be judged. He said, for by your standard of measure, it's measured back to you. However you want people to treat you, treat them, because that's how you're going to get treated. However you treated your mother and daddy. See, this is another thing. When we've got, our kids are grown, and we wonder why our kids are being thoughtless, or why they're doing this, or why they're not doing that, or this is how we treated our mother and father, so we reap the same treatment. You know, my granny used to just sit there at 96. She'd sit, and she was just granny. She was just there. And nobody talked to her particularly. She was just there. You might have done your granny that way too. Well, now guess who granny is? But you see, I see the reason. I was a thoughtless. I mean, I never did anything mean to my grandparents, but I was just thoughtless. So guess what? Some of my grandkids, I'm thinking they're thoughtless. Well, that's the reason. They're treating me like I treated my granny. Lord, would you please tell granny I'm sorry?
Yeah.
You can't talk to the dead, but you can ask God to tell them. And it's really healing when you do that. And so, Jesus said, why are you trying to get the speck out of someone else's eye when you've got a log in yours? He said, first, you've got a log in your eye. Why are you trying to take the speck out? First, get the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly how to get the speck out of someone else's eye. Now, all the things I've gone through with my eyes, God taught me about floaters. Years ago, I was doing a seminar, and I've shared this with a lot of you. A girl came up, she said, "I've got something in my eye." And I said, "Did you ever judge anybody?" And she went, "My mother." And I said, "Well, no, my mother-in-law." She said, who does that remind you of?" She said, "My mother." And so I led her to forgive her mother and repent of judging. And she went, "Oh, it's gone." And the Lord showed me that that was a log in her eye. Well, years passed, and I was at Lake Hamilton one morning getting ready to teach, and this little black flick went across my eye. And the Lord said, "Take the log out of your eye, and then you will see clearly how to take the speck out of someone else's eye." And so the revelation to me came, He wouldn't tell me to take that out if I couldn't take it out. So I said, "Well, Lord, who is that?" And the Lord showed me. I broke soul ties, I repented, and it left. And every time I would get up something like that, I would repent, break soul ties, and it would leave. And I can tell you right now, I have no floaters in my eyes. Praise Jesus. So, that's what it is. The medical profession calls it floaters, but God calls it logs. Every issue you have in life, you can find the answer in the Word of God. Well, how do you reset life's negative reaping patterns? You forgive. You repent of letting the sun go down on your anger. Repent of judging your parents. Repent of turning the idols. The idol, for example, if you're rejected, the idol would be, "I can't be rejected," or "I'm going to find somebody that loves me," whatever the idol is. And the way you get rid of the idols is take it up the mountain like Abraham did Isaac. Like I told you, I did my eyes. "Lord, if that will bring you greater glory and honor, then so be it. The devil, you can't touch me." Now, if it's just, God says you have not because you ask not, so ask and you shall receive that your joy may be full. If there's no fear there or no sin involved, then just ask. But if there's idolatry, if there's fear, if there's anger, even depression is idolatry, because I'm comparing my life or myself to some idol that I think I ought to be like or ought to be a success in life or whatever. And so I just take it up the mountain. "Lord, you hear what the devil's telling me? Lord, if it'll glorify you the most for this to happen or that to happen, so be it. The devil, you can't touch me in Jesus' name." That's the perfect love that casts out fear. If you keep doing that, you can live free of fear. Isn't that wonderful not to have any fear? I like what Carla said. I'm going to send that out as a daily thought of encouragement. That when you have fear, faith leaves. When you have faith, fear leaves. That's good. Really good. So stand up and ask the Lord. I want you to trace the look at the fruit in your life and trace it. Whatever the problem is the fruit. And trace it to the root. And it may be a generational curse on your family. "Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to search my heart, test my thoughts. Lord, would you please, in Jesus' name, show me the root to the fruit. By your Holy Spirit, search my heart, O God. Test my thoughts. Show me if there is any unclean way in me. And then lead me along the path of everlasting life." And then just deal with whatever the Lord shows you and then just sit down. The people that trouble you, forgive your mother and father for them. If they're like your mother and father, if you've been like your mother and father, ask God to forgive you and break the vow. If you vow you're never going to be like your mother and father, guess what? You will be. A vow works like a train track. You may want to go that direction, but you'll go the way of the vow. Because that's idolatry. If you've come with a hurt, a pain, a wound, somebody's really hurt you lately, go back to find out who hurt you when you were a child. "Lord, I ask you to forgive me for dishonoring my mother and father by not forgiving them by sundown. Lord, I forgive them for giving me a poor image of you. And Lord, I just ask you to forgive me for letting the sun go down on my anger, making judgments against them that have become bitter roots down in my heart because they're tied in with idolatry. Father, in Jesus' name, forgive me for receiving lies in my heart and turning to false gods because I didn't go to you. Lord, I didn't know I could go to you. I thought you were like my mom and dad. But you're not, Lord. You're perfect. Lord, I break soul ties with my mom and dad and my forefathers. I call back my soul and spirit from them. I send back their souls and spirits to them. And we're sending back not the Holy Spirit, but their human spirit. Every person is born with a human spirit. So we send back their soul and their spirit, their human spirit, to them. We call back our soul and spirit from them. We take the sword of the Spirit and we cut them loose from us in Jesus' name. We just command every demon power that came in through dishonoring mother and father to leave us now. Forgive us for vowing that when we grow up, life's going to be different. Forgive us for turning. Y'all be repenting. Forgive me for turning to false gods. Lord, I take all these false gods up the mountain, and if they glorify you the most for everybody in my life to keep treating me the same old way, so be it. But devil, you're bound in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. I come against the spirit of fear. I come against anger. I come against all the demons that came in through idolatry, jealousy, envy, famine, hunger, sickness, distress, disease, infirmity. I command self-hatred to go. I command guilt to go in the name of Jesus. I command rejection, the spirit of rejection. I cast you out in Jesus' name. Every spirit that's afflicting our bodies, our heart, our lungs, our liver, our pancreas, our eyes, our brain, our body, our glands, our bones, our legs, our joints, every spirit that's hindering our kidneys, our lungs, in the name of Jesus, leave now in Jesus' name. Spirit of death, you have to go in Jesus' name. Spirit of, Lord, forgive me for wishing I was dead. I break the power of death that came in through wishing I was dead. Go in Jesus' name. I break the power of death. I break the power of fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness, rebellion, antichrist. Leave now. Perverse spirits, go in Jesus' name. I command this religious spirits, you leave now in Jesus' name. Spirits of a Pharisee, spirits of a Sadducee, go in Jesus' name. Spirits of a know-it-all, in the name of Jesus, go. Spirits of blindness, you have to go. I command all spirits of judging, critical eyes, go in Jesus' name. Lord, forgive me for everything I've done with my eyes to sin. In the name of Jesus, I just command every spirit to go. All the demons of familiar spirits, leave now in Jesus' name. Familiar spirits of daddy, I break curses of cancer, curses of diabetes. I break curses of depression. I break curses of whatever. Name some sicknesses, y'all. I break curses of heart disease, hypertension, arthritis, which is bitterness. Bitterness. What else? High cholesterol, low cholesterol, high and low triglycerides, the demons that throw our blood sugar out of whack, go. All demons in the blood, go. All the demons that throw our blood sugar, cause our blood sugar to fluctuate, get out now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. All spirits of hatred, strife, revenge, bitterness, I command you to go. I tear out that root of bitterness in Jesus' name. I break the power of pride. What other sicknesses? Cancer, go. Bowel problems, go. Constipation, go. What else? Obsessive compulsive disorders, go. Controlling spirits, go. Vain spirits, go in Jesus' name. What else? Migraine headaches. Migraine headaches is from inner conflict and thinking it's your fault and something's wrong with you. Lord, I just break the power of migraine headaches. Self-hatred, unloving spirit. In Jesus' name, I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. I'm going to do this. There's an unloving spirit that's tied in with a lot of sicknesses. Most of my life, I would hear this voice that would say, fat. Yours may say something else. And about 15 years ago, I discovered that that was not me talking to me. We put up with it because we think it's you talking to you, but it's a demon. When I realized that that was an antichrist, self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, demon, it took a hike, and it's been so peaceful for 15 years. That thing don't talk to me 24/7. So, Lord, forgive me for hating myself, rejecting myself, self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, rejecting myself. Lord, this day, February the 21st, 2015, at about 2:40, I accept myself as fearfully and wonderfully made, your daughter, your workmanship, and created in Christ Jesus. Forgive me for arguing with you over the way I was made, in the name of Jesus, in the name, power, blood, and by the authority of Jesus. And Lord, thank you for showing me that that voice that talks to me, that has nitpicked me my whole life, 24/7, is not me talking to me. Forgive me for putting up with it. Thank you for the truth that set me free. Now I tell you, unloving, you antichrist, self-hatred, self-bitterness, unforgiveness of self, you spirit of low self-esteem, get out now in Jesus' name. I don't have to put up with you ever again. Shut up. Let the lying lips be dumb that speak arrogantly against the righteous. Bless the Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God you are. What a mighty God you are. I command antichrist spirits, go in Jesus' name. I break the power of gambling. I command you to go in Jesus' name. I break the power of headaches. I break the power of hurt. Lord, I bind up their broken heart. I press them out. I bandage them. I soften them with oil in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you that your spirit's upon me. I ask you to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of a spirit of fainting, that they may be oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord. And I say, be healed in the name of Jesus. Broken heart has to go. Pain, you have to go. Arthritis, you have to leave in Jesus' name. Lord, I forgive myself. Forgive yourself. I choose by an act of my will to forgive myself. I come against the lie that something is wrong with me. I break the power of guilt. I break the power of that lie that something must be wrong with me for me to have to go through all I've gone through. In Jesus' name, I forgive every person that's ever hurt me, said a negative word, looked at me crooked. In Jesus' name, bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. You're worthy, Lord. You're worthy of our praise. You are worthy, Lord. You are worthy, great Jehovah. You are worthy, mighty God. You are worthy, Abba Father. You are worthy, Lamb of God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you died at Calvary and that by your stripes I'm healed. I thank you and praise you, Lord. I praise you for your healing power. Thank you that you're the deliverer. Thank you that you went about healing every one of their diseases and casting out demons, Lord. We cast out every demon that's come in through every sin they've confessed. You have to go now in Jesus' name. Hatred, you have to go. Grudges, resentment, you have to go in the name of Jesus. Depression, discouragement, go in Jesus' name. Fainting, you have to leave in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Now, Lord, I ask your healing balm that you'll, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you'll just pour your anointing, your healing balm over each person in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you to give each person a revelation of your great love for them. In Jesus' name, praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless the Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you. Lord, cover with your love. In Jesus' name, praise the Lord. We're going to meet again at 3:15, and Carla's going to give you another powerful message.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.